are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
All right. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you, second and fourth Friday of the month. This is the fourth Friday of the month. It is the 23rd of September, the feast of St. Pius of Petrachina. We don't often hear him referred to that way, but that's Padre Pio, of course. And so we have a wonderful patron, for worry and suffering. Certainly a great advocate for the Sacrament of Reconciliation. So as we're talking about worry today, one of his famous lines, pray, hope, and don't worry, attributed to Padre Pio, have it on our King's Men coffee cup. We'll be learning a little bit more what Padre Pio has to say about what Jesus Christ has to say, and where Padre Pio, I imagine, generated his initial thoughts about pray, hope, and don't worry. So we're blessed to be with you again, Mark Houck from the King's Men. This is the King's Men radio program. We are a program about authentic masculinity, and we do authentically masculine retreats. We have small men's groups. We take on the culture of death. We are a full-time layman's apostolate, and we've been blessed to be at Holy Spirit Radio for the past 10 years. We started here in July of 2006, and we're so blessed to be coming back every month to share some good news about what we're doing in our apostolate, but also have programs that are geared towards men and the perspective of men. Sometimes we have a guest on that is a man or a woman sometimes, but we'll have themes and topics and discussions about masculine spirituality. And so today we're going to be talking on a generic level about suffering and hope and worry and anxiety and things like that. We'll certainly put our spin on it as men, but this certainly applies to all of us as husbands, as fathers, as married men and women, single, lay, consecrated. We are all not immune, I should say. We are all victims at times of worry and of anxiety. And I know dear friend Gary Zimak focuses a lot of his ministry on that. We're not going to take too much away from that today, but we're going to just offer a perspective that we have at the King's Men. And we always begin our radio program with St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit. He is our patron saint, and last time we were on with you, we had Father Michael D. Gregorio, the prior provincial for the Augustinian Order for the Villanova province here locally, and he was talking about the dominant spiritualities in the church, of course, Augustinian being one of them. And we'll generate a little bit more perspective from a talk he gave on August 31st out at the Villanova Friary, and I'll share some of that with you as we begin our time together. But before we do that, let's invoke our patron, Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us, St. Joseph to pray for us, and of course, Padre Pio to pray for us on his feast day today. So what a wonderful prayer that is. Again, asking the Holy Spirit to move through us in everything, our faith filtering through everything we do as men, as leaders, as heads of our household. We need to start our day with prayer. And that could be just simply blessing yourself and putting yourself for 2 minutes in the presence of your Heavenly Father and just saying, Dear Lord, Strengthen me this day. Dear Lord, guard my heart this day. Dear Lord, draw my heart to you this day. Act in me, breathe in me. And that's it. And you ask the Holy Spirit to do all that in you, through you, with you. And just like the doxology of the Mass, in Christ, through him, with him, and in him, we move throughout our day with the Holy Spirit breathing through us. It's a beautiful thought, a beautiful way to pray without ceasing, to see in our actions the Spirit moving us. And so as we talk about today is how do we respond to anxiety and worry and fears and all those things, just keep that in mind, that the Holy Spirit, that our guardian angels, the person, the being that was assigned to you, the spiritual being that was assigned to you at the moment of your conception, has been with you every second of your life, every moment of your day. He's seen you in your worst times, in your best of times, in your mediocre times, everything. He's been there. I'm giving him gender, even though angels don't have gender. I'm just, for simplicity's sake, your guardian angel has been there watching you, praying for you, interceding for you. The angels are talking to one another. If you approach another person, guess what? There's a guardian angel there for that person too. Don't you think those angels dialogue with each other? Don't you think they come together and whisper things to each other to help the people that God has assigned them? One day you will meet your guardian angel. One day you will know who your guardian angel is and What a great friendship that will be. Establish that friendship now. Start talking to your guardian angel often. Ask for their help. That's all they want to do. Their whole job is to help us. To help us to know Jesus, to love Jesus, and to be with Jesus eternally. And that's their goal. And what a failure it is to those guardian angels when their assigned souls turn away. How much that hurts them and crushes their spirit. But they know that we all have free will. And so the angels, although they pray and although they intercede and although they protect, they will never interfere with that free will. As God will never interfere with that free will. Why? Because it's his greatest gift to us. And the angels all were given a choice. They all had a choice, just like we have a choice, the beginning of time to decide who they would serve. And your guardian angel, along with all the good angels, chose to serve God. And the ones that chose that said that they didn't want to serve, well, they're in a place called hell. And in that place is the Prince of Darkness and all his fallen angels with him. And their goal, as we've talked about before on this radio program, is to frustrate God's plan in your life. So much so that the plans that they desire for you become, in fact, our plans. And hell becomes a reality for us. So very much an important thing to meditate on each day and ponder those realities. But we have nothing to fear. Even though that is a threat to us and to our ultimate destination, God doesn't want us to fear. We're going to talk today about suffering and hope and trust and all those wonderful things. Before I do that, let me update you on some TKM programs. We recently had our Into the Wild in Virginia. That was another wonderful Into the Wild outdoor experiential retreat for men. We brought about 45 men down to Prince William Forest. One of our smaller retreats, but that's okay. It was anointed again, and we had some great encounters with our Lord and great consolations, and we continue to persevere and offer these programs and invite the men to come. And so we did that one right next to Quantico, which is where the Marine Corps barracks base is. And so we had a lot of soldiers, former Marines, former servicemen and men who were there to able to share. We had one brother on the feast of, or the memorial, I should say, of September 11th, which was the last day of the retreat, who was actually at the Pentagon about 100 feet from the ground zero when the plane went into the Pentagon. He lost some members of his staff there. that day. And so we were able to pray with him. And on that 15-year anniversary, we were able to be very close to that part of our history. And certainly with the victims and the first responders and all those, we're in our thoughts and our prayers that day. We had a brother in the Lord who was very close to all of it. And it was very unique to experience that and have him there in our company. So we pray for Michael, who is that brother. And anyhow, that was just a great blessing, though, to have him. We had our Kingsmen Golf Outing, our 7th annual Kingsmen Golf Outing in Indian Valley. That was a wonderful success, a great day. A little over 50 golfers were there. And we had about 75 for dinner. It was just a wonderful way to celebrate. We celebrated Pat Stanton, who was given the St. Augustine Award. It's an annual award that the Kingsmen give out to a brother in Christ who's in our apostolate, who best exemplifies the leader, protector, and provider. And Pat has been doing that, a la his father, in the spirit of his father, for many years. And Pat has been leading the charge in the pro-life fight, just like his dad did, John Stanton, the great John Stanton, who passed away a couple years ago. Pat has taken up that banner and has truly assumed his seat as patriarch, I guess, of the local movement here. John, of course, was the patriarch for the pro-life movement in southeastern PA for 40 years. And Pat has kind of ascended that throne, not by choice, but just by virtue of someone's got to fill those shoes, right? And so Pat has done that. And 40 Days for Life is going on down the city in Warminster, all around the world today. There are simultaneous 40 Days for Life, and what a wonderful thing. So the Kingsmen Day in the city is October 4th. So if anybody would like to come down and pray with us or take an hour, we're there from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. in front of the gates of hell, quite literally, the abortion mill at 12th and Locust, Planned Parenthood. If you'd like to be a part of that prayer experience and witness to the ladies and the men that are going into that abortion mill, that killing center, we want to invite you. So email me, mark@thekingsmen.org. If you'd like to come down and pray a half hour, 15 minutes, an hour, take a full hour, that would be wonderful. I'll be there from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. So please join me if you'd like to. We also had our 10th anniversary. We celebrated 10 years on August 28th of full-time lay men's ministry. And what a blessing. What a blessing. We gathered about 30 or so of us at the Augustinian Friary, as I mentioned earlier, in Villanova. And Father Michael DiGregorio, my spiritual director, gave an amazing talk on St. Augustine. He talked about the various spiritualities in the church, and he talked about the Augustinian spirituality. And what he said, and he said this on the previous program, but I'll review it again because I think it's important to remind ourselves that the great saints in our church, and there are many, every saint is great, but there are great saints that are lifted to certain supernatural merit here on earth, I guess you could say. Doctors of the church, we might call them, people who the church would look to for great authority when it comes to church teaching. And Augustine is one of those such saints, you know, a great sinner, certainly a great saint, as they all are. But these wonderful people like Ignatius, Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, St. Francis, they all read the Gospels. They all read the Gospels, and they had a different experience with the Holy Word of God. And some of them have experienced God in a certain way. Like Francis interpreted what Jesus was trying to tell him in his word, as to be and reach out with the poor. You know, I got to tell you in the studio today before I continue with these words, my daughter, little Catherine McCall, is here. It says, "Daddy, bring your daughter to work today." And she's in here in the studio with me. My 4-year-old daughter Kitty is in the studio with me, and she's trying to get on the airwaves. Do you want to talk to the audience today? No, she does not want to talk to the audience. So Daddy's going to finish this program, then I'll be with you, okay, baby girl? All right, very good. And so as we talk about the spiritualities, Francis had this encounter with our Lord, and brought the gospel and the mercy of Christ. And the corporal and spiritual works of mercy brought them to the world, wanted to bring them to the world. Ignatius, as I was about to say before my little daughter came in, had his experience with the Lord, and it became the spiritual disciplines and exercises of the saint of the Ignatian spiritual exercises that he really gleaned as to how to grow in holiness. And then you have the Carmelite experience. You have Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, the spirituality of Thérèse of Lisieux. You have these wonderful saints who see the contemplative side of Christ and that experience, the dark night of the soul, right? And then you have that Augustinian and Dominican experience. The Dominicans, the Word of God, the preaching God's Word, and they saw that as paramount, whereas Augustine saw the heart of the gospel as love God and love your neighbor, summing it up. And so each one, all are correct. None are monopolizing the Word of God and have the authority over the other. They're all a charism. And so as we talk about St. Pio today, and we talk about his charism, which was Capuchin, Franciscan, we must keep that in mind, that the experience that St. Padre Pio had, St. Pius of Petrachina, is going to be a little different than say, Jose Maria Escrivá, right? St. Jose Maria Escrivá, which, you know, we can talk about that as well. But so on this 10th anniversary, Father Michael shared with us Augustine's spirituality. And it was a beautiful thing. And really, Augustine's spirituality is the Kingsman's spirituality. And it wasn't by design. It's just really what bore out of our hearts, that we wanted to love God as men, Damian Wargo and myself, and call other men to ourselves, just like Augustine did, and live that call, live out our lives of holiness, but really to share that love with our neighbors. So we go out into the world, we engage the culture in a radical way, we take on the issues of pornography, we defend traditional marriage, and we fight the evil of abortion. And so we're taking the love of Christ into those places, to our neighbor, to our lost neighbor, the people who are not with us in our approach to these matters, that they have really bought into what the world has taught them and have found themselves very much disconnected from Holy Mother Church. And so we must reach out to them in love, never in judgment. And I think Augustine would say that, although Augustine had very strong words for his flock and he challenged them, he would always bring the love of Christ into it, often by sharing his journey and his story and how he failed. And he would say that, for years, my back was to the light. I could see what the light was touching. I could see it. I could see it in my periphery, right? But my back was to it. And for years, I was turned back to the light. But eventually, when he turned towards the light, then illumination came, of course, and insight and understanding and forgiveness and the mercy of God. And so Father Michael talked about all these wonderful realities. Before we go to our first break, I just want to remind you that we have three more Into the Wild retreats. We will be in the Eastern Adirondacks next week from Thursday, September 29th to Sunday, October 2nd. We'll be at Pyramid Life Center in Paradox, New York, which is the Adirondacks. We still have room if you'd like to get in on that. Got father-son rates and discounts for anyone that wants to come. We never let money get in the way of anyone who wants to be there. And then, of course, we have our Samson Healing Retreat, which is our final Samson Healing Retreat of the year, November 3rd through the 6th. That'll be in the beautiful Discovery House in Hammonton, New Jersey, the blueberry capital of the world. And we will be there for our final healing retreat. And then the great news, which I'll talk about towards the end of this program again, the Judith Retreat, the inaugural Judith Retreat. It's going to be at Fatima House, October 20th to the 23rd. And this is our healing program for women. And you say, wow, this is a men's ministry. Why do you have this? Well, for years, women have been asking us to offer something to women. And so through much prayer and discernment, we decided that, yes, we needed to be part of the healing if we were going to be a men's ministry. that are seeking to heal men from their wounds, we also needed to see as men how we have wounded women and how we can be an agent for healing for them. And so the Judith Retreat is an answer to that. We'll be talking about the seven sorrows of Mary on this retreat and, of course, the story of Judith. And so I'll get into that in a little more detail towards the end of this program because that offers us great hope. But that's at the Fatima House in Bedminster again on October 20th to 23rd, and you can learn more at judithretreat.com. So we're going to go to our first break. I'm going to give my daughter a squeeze, and then we're going to come right back and talk about Padre Pio, Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry. Stay tuned.
The Catholic Women's Conference is coming up soon on Saturday, October 29th at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Over 1,000 women will be there to hear the best Catholic speakers talk about the feminine genius and a woman's mission of mercy in the family, in the church, and in the world. This special event includes something for every woman, married, single, and consecrated, featuring talks in English, Spanish, American Sign Language, and a youth track for teens. Experience the tender mercy of God in Mass, confession, and adoration. Explore the peaceful grounds of the shrine, connect with other Catholic women, and browse over 20 exhibits tailored for women. The conference is filling up fast and may sell out, so register today at CatholicWomen'sConference.org. That's CatholicWomen'sConference.org.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
This is Holy Spirit Radio.
The mercy of the Lord every time has conquered for us.
Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
All right, welcome back again. The Kingsmen Radio Program, second and fourth Friday here at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM on your dial, Doylestown, Philadelphia, 1420 Coatesville, Chester County. Blessed to be with you today live talking on the Feast of Padre Pio. If you don't know anything about Padre Pio, well, I encourage you, our listening audience, to learn more and to go to the Bartow, Pennsylvania Shrine. That's right, Bartow, PA. It's right up above Bucks County in Berks County area. About, I would say, from our studio here, maybe about a 45-minute drive, Doylestown. Go see the wonderful relics, the confessional of St. Padre Pio. His gloves that he wore to cover the stigmata on his hands are there. They're venerated every day. There's a wonderful gift shop there. There's wonderful relics. I think there's relics of St. John Paul II there. There's a wonderful video and documentary on St. Pius of Petrocina. And you can see the village kind of. They kind of recreate what you would find in San Giovanni Rotondo in Italy. You'll see kind of a similar architecture there and a wonderful family that received a miracle from Padre Pio back in the 60s, took their daughter there and decided that they would spread the devotion to Padre Pio upon his death and built this wonderful shrine. And so you can go there in the Diocese of Allentown, and that's a great way to learn more. Maybe take a field trip. My daughter's here at the homeschool today. Kitty's in the studio, and I ran her over from the homeschool co-op over at the Shrine Częstochowa as a little bit of a field trip. But sometimes you have these opportunities to educate your children. And a wonderful way to do that is take a pilgrimage to a shrine, a local shrine. And we have great local shrines here. We got the Holy Doors at the Shrine Częstochowa this year, the Year of Mercy. We got, of course, the Padre Pio Shrine, St. John Neumann Shrine in Philly, St. Peter's right there. You can see the body of John Neumann. You can go to St. Rita Shrine, of course, our great basilica in the city, And there's so many other beautiful churches. Catherine Drexel Shrine, I believe that's going to be closing, and they're going to have to move Catherine Drexel's body. I think they're going to bring that down to the Basilica. But I would say go to the Catherine Drexel Shrine because it's not going to be there very long. And the sisters are going to be selling that property. So sad to hear that, but nonetheless, a great opportunity for you to go educate your children, share the wonderful spirit of our local saints here in Philadelphia. In fact, I was just driving up from Virginia, as I was mentioning in the first part of this program about the Into the Wild Virginia retreat. Well, as we were driving up, we passed through Emmitsburg, which is, of course, where Mount St. Mary's is, and the shrine for St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And you can go see her there, her relics as well, her body and so forth, and venerate. We venerate these things. We venerate these relics. So anyhow, a little apologetics there. We don't pray necessarily to the body. We venerate the body, and we ask for intercession, see? So we're not worshiping, I should say, the bodies of these people, but we are honoring their bodies. So they were a temple of the Holy Spirit, and they're relics. And so we venerate and we ask for their intercession, the soul that is in heaven. And so on this day, St. Pius of Petrachina, let's talk about Padre Pio and a little bit about his approach to worry. Well, in the Magnificat today, he talks about his personal concerns about his own suffering. He says, I know quite well that the cross is a token of love. If you have the Magnificat today, it's a beautiful meditation. And an earnest of forgiveness. He talks about the cross. And that love which is not fed and nourished by the cross is not true love, but merely a flash in the pan. Okay, so our love will have limitations if it's not nurtured and nourished and anchored, I should say, in the cross of Christ. If it's a love, as Teresa of Avila would say, that isn't reflective of the cross, then it's not true love. So it's got elements of love, but it's not true love. And so Padre Pio says, yet in spite of this knowledge, this false disciple of the Nazarene, himself, feels the cross weighing enormously on his heart, and very often, and please don't be scandalized by this, he says, he goes in search of the compassionate Cyrenian who relieves and comforts him. So he's basically saying, he's writing to his spiritual father, his director, and saying, even though I know I should embrace what I'm dealing with, my suffering, I often seek relief from that. So it's okay, friends, men, if you're suffering, to seek solace, as Augustine did, in his friends. Augustine, in his Confessions, talks about a dear friend of his who died. He never tells us this friend's name, but he talks about this in his Confessions, his autobiographical work. The first autobiographical work that ever had a psychological reflection element to it. Okay, he says that, well, as it had been said, that a friend is half a person's soul. So his friend who dies early in his life, Augustine felt like his half of his soul was missing. And how did he comfort himself? He sought solace in his friendships. And so men, if you're struggling with anything, women too, seek the solace of your friends, your male compadres, your band of brothers. This is what we do at the King's Men. There are no great whites out there for men. We're not rogue men. We don't live and thrive by ourselves. Very few in the spiritual walk go out in the desert by themselves, okay, and live alone. It's very few, a supernatural call, if you will, okay? So 99.9% of us, we need people. It's not good for man to be alone, right? Right in the book of Genesis. So men, you need to surround yourself with the comfort of other men because iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17. And as iron sharpens iron, so does one man for another. Padre Pio knew this. He joined a community, the Capuchin Friars. He saw that. Obviously, anyone that joins a religious community wants to live in community, wants to have a band of brothers, sisters as well, you know, Carmelite cloisters, whatever. They want to live in community. They have a call, but they have this desire to live out their days in community. And whether you're a first order, the priests, the second order, the nuns, or the third order, the lay people, you desire to live this common spirituality, whatever that is, Augustinian, Carmelite, Ignatian, Franciscan, Dominican, whatever it is. You want to live that in a community. And so I imagine as Padre Pio is writing this to his spiritual father, that he sought the compassionate relief of the men that were in his order. So he goes on to say, what value can this love of mine have with God? This love that he's referring to is this not all in, so to speak, with the suffering. This love that is once relief, yet even Christ on the cross needed relief, right? I thirst, you know? So what value can this love of mine, he's questioning himself, have with God? I am very much afraid on this account, he says, that my love of God is not true love. So he's questioning himself. So even the great saint, Pio, questioned himself. This is one of the many torments which, combined with many more, overwhelm me to the point where I feel utterly crushed. Wow. How many of us can say that about something in our life where the anxiety, the worry, the torments of our children may be falling away from the church, or our own spouse who's not living for the Lord, who's betrayed us, who's maybe been unfaithful, maybe in our own church where we feel betrayed and tormented, combined with many more, use your imagination, whatever that is for you, overwhelms you to the point where you feel utterly crushed. Well, Padre Pio is speaking right to you today. He says, still, my dear Father, I have a great desire to suffer for the love of Jesus. So even though he questions that his love is lacking, is not all in, so to speak, he's saying, I still desire to suffer greatly for Jesus, for the love of Jesus. So you press forward, you move forward despite the fear, the unknown, the uncertainty. I think the Lord likes to keep us in a bit of quandary every once in a while about not his love or his mercy or his forgiveness, but about what's happening to us. That even Christ himself had his agony in the garden. It said, Lord, take this cup away from me, but not my will be done, but yours. And so, even Christ struggles with that. And we must take great solace and consolation in that. And even the divine, the human side of the God-man had that dilemma. I was reminded as I read this of a word St. Maximian Kolbe, wonderful saint, feast day August 14th, we just had it. He said, I desire to suffer still more greatly for Christ, that his love for Jesus, I am prepared, he says, to suffer more for him, more humiliations. So out of love, we move into the unknown. And so this brings us to this wonderful saying of Pio of Petrachina, pray, hope, and don't worry. Pray, hope, and don't worry. And we have likely the scenario whereby Padre Pio read Matthew 6. I can only imagine this is where this comes from. In Matthew 6, chapter 6, we have the words, do not worry, as the main theme. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. I want you to hear these words, because these words get you through. There's a lot of people concerned about our country, where we're going. We have elections coming up. People are scared. People are scared of what's going to happen. People are discerning and praying about whether or not they should vote. Padre Pio always voted. He went every voting election day to the voting booth. And there's pictures of him doing this. He says we have a duty to do this. The saints say we have a duty to vote. So as a Catholic, you can't say, I'm not going to vote. Now, here on at Holy Spirit Radio, the Kingsmen, we're not going to tell you how to vote. We're just going to form your conscience. We're going to tell you the unshakables and unbreakables, and then you get in there in that voting booth and you make the decision. The Catholics have a duty to vote, though. You can't abdicate that. Well, I'm not going to vote because there's not a good enough candidate. There's no Catholic candidate. Well, guess what? I'm sure there was no Catholic candidate always for St. Pio of Petrochina, but he went in there and he made a decision as best as he could based upon what he knew and the best man or woman to carry forward the mission of the gospel. So you must evaluate who's going to do the most damage. As Father Frank Pavone would say, who's going to help the pro-life movement to move forward, the agenda of the pro-life movement, which is the ultimate movement? It's the primordial battle of our day. Who's going to move us forward, or who's going to set us back? Friends, there's a clear decision there, and I cannot make this decision for you, but it's clear where these candidates and ultimately where all the other candidates stand. I mean, there's a pro-life position and a non-pro-life position. So you know who they are. We have a duty to move the fundamental right of the right to life forward in our political agenda and arm of our government. And so we must think about this. But we must not worry, though. Even if things don't go the way we hope they would, even if we don't get the person in office that we want, that doesn't give us, you know, license to despair. We move forward and we draw on these words, as I'm sure St. Pio drew on these words. If I've drawn on these words for the last 10 years working in full-time ministry, I remind myself of these words often. So hear them, receive them, breathe them, live them. Christ says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what shall put on, you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O men of little faith, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Or if I could add, how am I going to pay these bills? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, key words now, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's often gets left out. And all these things shall be yours as well. And the final parting words of this wonderful verse from Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. In other words, what is Christ saying? Do the best you can today. Tomorrow is not here. There's no point in worrying about it. Tomorrow, this is going to happen. Tomorrow, my house is going to be foreclosed on. Tomorrow, they're going to impound my car. Tomorrow, I lose my job. Tomorrow, my kids go off to school and I'm scared to death. Tomorrow, we have to move. Tomorrow, I have to bury my father. Tomorrow, whatever you're anxious about. Tomorrow, the bank hits me with all these fees because I don't have enough money in my account. Tomorrow, I have to have surgery. Tomorrow, you know, you just worry about the moment, which is just really not worry at all. Just put yourself in the presence of God and say, Lord, I know you're true to your word. You tell me not to worry, so I trust in that word. You tell me not to worry about the provision for my family, so I trust in your word. Now, here's the thing with the Holy Mother Church. Here's the thing with the Word of God is that we hold on to these teachings and truths, right? We hold on to them, but we don't take them for granted. We don't rest on our laurels. We don't play God. So in other words, you can't be a Christian and read this and say, oh, I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. That would be someone who's not reading this properly. Someone who has gifts and talents that God has given, God expects you to use them. And so he's going to bless your stewardship of your gifts. And he will work through that, and he will provide, and he will see you through to the end. And often the provision and the fruit of your labor will come, the fruit of your labor, friends, brothers, will come at the 11th hour. This is Matthew 6. Trust me, I work all things for the good. You love me, you honor me, you tell others about me, you serve me. Do you think I'm going to leave you orphan? Look at the birds. You think the birds are in formal prayer every day and they're at the Eucharist and they're praying and asking for God's intercession? No, they're an animal. But yet God provides for all their needs. He makes sure that the bird that's seeking out worms for their little chicklings, hatchlings, he finds the worm or he finds some provision or the mother finds whatever for her little hatchlings, right? Why do you worry? Aren't you worth more than sparrows? Aren't you worth more than the grass on the ground? The inanimate objects that are give glory to God through God's blessing of them? Aren't you worth more? Why do you doubt? As you hear the words of Christ saying oftentimes as he encounters, oh, you of little faith. You know, the fourth watch, and the disciples are in the boat, and Christ isn't with them this time. He's not sleeping in the bow. They're very upset. They're concerned. They're anxious. They think they're going to capsize. They think they're going to die. And there's Jesus walking on the water. Oh, men of little faith, do not be afraid, he says. Take courage. It is I. And when he's in the bow and he's in there, he's like, why did you worry? I'm in your midst. Don't you think I'm going to protect you? Here I am sleeping. I'm with you. And you wake me up because you doubt that I'm going to protect you and help you and provide for you? I'm with you. I am the author of life. I am the master of the seas. I tell the wind when to blow and when not to blow. I control everything. Don't you know who I... They didn't know who he was, truly, obviously, or else they would have trusted. But we know who Jesus Christ is. We have the fullness of truth as revealed through 2,000 years of church tradition. The revelation of God to us. In the early days, there was no Holy Bible. There was the Torah, of course. But there was no Bible with the Gospels. Peter didn't have a roadmap. They were the roadmap. They were writing the script with Christ's help. And eventually we got that book written and we have all this wonderful stories of love. We talk about love, how much Jesus loves us. And we talk about what it means to love. And Padre Pio says, in one of the autobiographies that I read, he says the greatest sin is a failure to love. And he questions himself and his ability to love. He questions his ability to love, and it concerns him. It concerns him that he's not loving the way Christ wants him to love, and he's not embracing the suffering. So it's one thing not to have anxiety. It's another thing to see that suffering is also a blessing. So when we have anxiety about suffering, sometimes God says, well, that's okay. You're going to suffer anyway because I'm blessing you with this suffering. As Thérèse of Lisieux would say, whenever I suffer, I see Christ walking towards me. You see? So Christ isn't going to remove the suffering, and nor is Matthew 6 saying, don't worry, you're not going to suffer. That's not what it's saying. Christ said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me to his apostles, guess what? They're going to persecute you. So Matthew 6 is not saying, and Christ is not saying, that you're not going to have turmoil and you're not going to have difficulty. No. It's saying, in the midst of all that, don't worry. Have hope. Pray, hope, and don't worry. You must pray yourself through those times. Sometimes you're praying more than you ever prayed, sometimes through the very tumultuous storms in our life. You know, you're about ready to capsize. You're about ready to give up. You're almost to despair, but you don't. You keep persevering, and you have great hope in the midst of great darkness. In the midst of great darkness, what shines the brightest? The little crack of light. If a little crack is in a dark room, it pierces that room. Christ will pierce that darkness in your life, and you will get through it. And I think that's the promise of Jesus here is, do not be anxious. Tomorrow's going to be difficult, yes, but there's no need to worry about it today. You do what you can today. At the end of the day, St. John the 23rd, Pope John the 23rd, right, would kneel before the tabernacle in his personal quarters in the Vatican. And he would say to the Lord, Lord, I've done the best I can. It's your church, right? So this needs to be our attitude about everything. Yeah, sometimes our choices are wrong and we make mistakes and we see the consequences of that and we get upset and we say, geez, why didn't you help me with that, God? Why didn't you save me from myself, God? Why don't you save my children from themselves? And sometimes God just allows nature to take its course. But God works through it, and he works through all things, even sin. He works through all things. And so we can have great hope in the midst of great darkness, in the midst of sin in our children's lives, in the midst of sin in our own life, that there can still be hope. So after you sin, and we all sin, Proverbs tells us, the righteous man sins 7 times a day. And so we know that we're sinners, and we know that we sin. Sometimes we sin mortally, sometimes we sin venially. But we sin. And so we must not despair in our own sinfulness, but fall on our knees, make a good, good act of contrition, and let it go. Stop dwelling on it. You will get to confession as soon as possible, because sometimes you don't always have. You know, wouldn't that be great if we could just, call up a priest and give us absolution over the phone? No, we can't do that. Can't do that. We need to go. There's an act of hope, an act of humility there. To go, an act of faith, to literally enter into the presence of God by virtue of every priest's ordination and receive those words face to face or anonymously or whatever. But we hear those words and receive it in the presence of Jesus. And even though God is everywhere and we're two or more gathered in his name, there is the Lord in our midst, we cannot do that over the phone. So you must wait. So if you sin, you fall, and God forbid, if it's a mortal sin, then don't despair. Do the best you can. God can still work through you. It's not like God abandoned you, and all of a sudden, oh, little Mark has committed the cardinal sin. I will not communicate with him. I will not talk to him until he is absolved of this sin. No, see, here's the problem. God still loves us. God still speaks to us. God still works through us. But the problem is, it's hard for us to hear what the message is when we're in a state of mortal sin. We're not in a state of grace. It's hard for us to know because there's confusion in our midst. There's calamity. There's sin. There's the devil whispering in our ears. You're this person. You've done this. Oh, you're a wretch. You're an awful human being. See, God will never love you. And you got all this calamity. So it's very hard to hear and have the peace and the knowledge that we are in God's friendship. Because when we commit mortal sin, we're not in God's friendship. We're turning our back on God. And you say to me today, you say, well, I don't want to do that, Mark. Well, that just like the great St. Paul. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. Brothers, and he is a saint today. Maybe one of the smartest men to ever live in the Christian era. Brilliant. Struggled with his own sinfulness. And God gave him comfort and all that and said, "My grace is sufficient for you, my son." Right, Paul? "Your strength is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, he boasts of his weakness, not of his sin, not of his failings, but of his weakness. And says that God uses him, for when he is weak, he is strong. And so we have these wonderful consolations from Paul, but also from St. Pio today, that St. Pio struggled, and St. Pio struggled with the knowledge that he was loving God well, but he persevered nonetheless. And of course, he received the great gift of the stigmata, which he wanted the Lord to take away, but ultimately God said no. And then, had this wonderful life. But at the same time, he suffered and was persecuted. Even his own church persecuted him because they didn't know what this was all about. And for 3 or 4 years, maybe 10, I forget, I think it was 3, he wasn't allowed to celebrate public mass. Can you imagine that as a priest? One of the great gifts that you have as a priest is to bring others to Christ through the mass, through the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice. And so he was, he was banned, if you will. They removed his faculties in that regard to celebrate public mass. Okay? So that happens. And even though that's not what God, of course, wanted, God allowed it and allowed Holy Mother Church to do their investigation and to ultimately come to see that this was a miracle and that he did have the stigmata and this was not some act of someone trying to fool or pull over the wool of anyone's eyes, okay? All right, so that's the message of hope and the message of trust that Pio wanted to bring us, even in the midst of his own suffering. And so as we close our time together, we talk about the Judith retreat again. I want to come back to that because I think there are many women in this audience who are suffering in silence. And dear sister, if I can speak to you as your younger or older brother, however old you are, that the Judith retreat is an oasis for you to break away from the long suffering of silence, to come away with your sisters. The sisters that are going to be leading this are the Sisters of Life, Sue Brinkman, who's no stranger to these airways through Women of Grace, and wonderful woman by the name of Lydia Britton will be facilitating this retreat. She comes from the Diocese of Orlando. The Kingsmen will be there. We will be putting our charism on it. We will be helping. We'll be setting the table. But we'll be at the Fatima House, October 20th to the 23rd. And you will experience God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and the sisterhood that is available to you. If you go to judithretreat.com, you'll see the whole schedule. You'll see what we're doing. You'll see that Monsignor Mike Mannion's going to be there, who has led so many retreats for Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. She would often ask Father Mike to come and give a retreat for her sisters. And so he has wonderful insights into the human journey, but also for healing. And so we will dive in deeply into the seven sorrows of Mary. We will see together what Mary has to say to us and how her femininity can speak to a woman and how she was comforted in the midst of her suffering. And what can we learn from that? What does Holy Mother Mary have for us? How can she help us? How can she help you, dear sister? And of course, Judith, the prototype for Mary in the Old Testament. Not a true story. There wasn't actually a Judith, but it's a narrative to show that God can use even a woman. Of course, Mary's the par excellence of that, but that as God used Moses to bring the Israelites and save them from Pharaoh, God can use Judith to save his people, the Israelites. And so God wants you to know that he uses everybody. And so Judith is there for us as this wise woman, this beautiful woman, this woman of great beauty and faith, who's a widow, who suffers greatly, has a message for us today. These stories in Sacred Scripture, Job, Judith, and the ones that, and even Adam and Eve to a degree, were they actually named Adam or Eve? We don't know. But these stories are there to help us. And they're not just there just to be a nice read. They're there to help us, to draw on for strength. And so Judith is the Word of God, God's Word breathed. And she is there to help us learn, to learn how to trust and to learn how to use our gifts to become the person God's created us to be. And so that's what we're striving for, to be the person God created us to be. And as we close our time here together, St. Pio would say to you, persevere, pray, hope, don't worry in the midst of your own struggles, in the midst of your own vocational crisis or whatever you're dealing with. Take that as food for your journey today. That, like in Matthew 6, we have the words of don't worry about what you're going to eat or wear. God provides all these things for all creatures of the earth. How much more will he provide to you, his own dear brother and sister? You are a beloved son and daughter of the Most High God. You are in the kingdom family of God, and God takes care of his own. And guess what? We're all his own. Whether you find yourself away from God as a terrorist with ISIS, we are still all his children. Whether you are a political candidate who does not agree with our church's teachings, that is a child of God. Okay? And God loves them and wants nothing more for them to come to the fullness of truth, but also to come into relationship with him. And so don't despair. God is working through all these people. He can work through sinners. We don't be Donatists here on this earth. We don't say, well, they're a sinner, therefore they cannot be used by God. No, that's a heresy called Donatism, and we don't do that. We know that God can work through Barack Obama just as much as he can work through the greatest candidate who ever set foot on the face of the earth, that I don't know who that would be, but God can use us all, and that gift should give us all great hope. And so as we close our time here today, brothers, I look forward to being with you in 2 weeks. Again, keep us in prayer, especially our retreat next week in the Adirondacks. And remember that we will be here for you as an apostle, as men. Look us up at thekingsmen.org. God bless.